From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Nearly 60 Palestinians were killed, hundreds wounded Monday, in clashes along the Israel-Gaza frontier as the U.S. officially opened its embassy in Jerusalem, part of the 70th anniversary celebrations of Israel's founding. Tens of thousands of Palestinian protesters streamed to the border with Israel, some using slingshots to hurl stones at Israeli troops, who responded with tear gas and in some cases live fire. Saeed Barakat, a senior aide to Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, denounced the Israeli use of lethal force.
An act that tantamount to a war crime, which we condemn with the strongest possible terms, and urge the international community to move to provide international protection for our people.
Mr. Abbas called for 3 days of mourning and a general strike. White House spokesman Raj Shah blamed Hamas for the violence.
Hamas is responsible for these tragic deaths, that their rather cynical exploitation of the situation, it is what's leading to these deaths, and we want them to stop.
The violence took place as the U.S. Embassy was formally opened with a ceremony in Jerusalem Monday. Among those in attendance, U.S. Deputy Secretary of State John Sullivan.
Moving the U.S. Embassy on a broader scale is also a step towards advancing peace in this city, in the broader region, and throughout the world.
Palestinians who view East Jerusalem as the future capital of a Palestinian state denounce the move. The World Health Organization has given the green light to the Democratic Republic of Congo to import and use an experimental Ebola vaccine. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus is the WHO Director General.
We have agreement, registration, plus import permit, everything formally agreed already.
He said vaccinations could begin next Monday. This is VOA News. With nearly all votes counted, it appears supporters of Shia cleric Muqtada al-Sadr are the big winners following Sunday's parliamentary election in Iraq. Iran-backed Shia militia chief Hadi al-Amiri came in second, followed by incumbent Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi. Washington Institute for Near East Policy Distinguished Fellow and former Ambassador James Jeffrey said it was not a good outcome for Iran.
Essentially, you can form an anti-Iranian coalition with Muqtada al-Sadr's people, Alawi folks, the Kurds, Abadi, and the al-Hakim people.
But he also said the electoral outcome is not good news for the U.S. Sadr is an opponent of both the U.S. and Iran. A top Chinese trade official arrives in Washington Tuesday for talks aimed at averting a trade war. China has welcomed President Donald Trump's efforts to resolve the sanctioning of Chinese telecom giant ZTE Corporation, which uses U.S. components in many of its products. It misled regulators about shipments to Iran. University of Chicago political science professor Dolly Young said ZTE has been hit hard by the restrictions.
The earlier sanctions on ZTE have been crippling to the company, which has already suspended the sale of many of its products within China and, in fact, globally.
Meanwhile, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross said bilateral disagreements remain wide on narrowing the trade imbalance between the U.S. and China. The two Koreas will hold another high-level meeting Wednesday to discuss military and humanitarian negotiations to reduce border tensions and prepare for possible reunions of families separated by the Korean conflict. It's part of implementing commitments made during last month's inter-Korean summit and comes ahead of a planned June 12 meeting between North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and President Trump in Singapore. Scientists now say a new look at old data suggests Europa, a moon of Jupiter, may support life with evidence of water plumes. A bend in the moon's magnetic field observed by NASA's Galileo spacecraft during a 1990s flyby appears to have been caused by a geyser gushing through its frozen crust from a subsurface ocean. Australian climber Steve Plain has become the fastest climber to scale the highest peaks in the world on seven continents, taking 117 days to complete the feat known as the Seven Summits. He successfully scaled the tallest Mount Everest on Monday. The U.S. Supreme Court Monday ruled that states can legalize sports gambling by striking down a 1992 federal law that bars it in most places. The justices voted 6-3 to back an effort by the state of New Jersey to allow wagering. Sports leagues opposed the state effort, calling such betting a threat to the integrity of competition with the potential for game fixing and other forms of cheating. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.